This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here, we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I am really excited to be here today because guess what? For the first time ever, I am interviewing my mom. Yes, that's right. You are here for it. My mother is in studio with me today, and for the very first time, I'm going to hear her share her faith journey story. So just so excited. Mom, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Jessica. This is so very special to me. Thank you for asking me.
I think it's super special too. I've been looking forward to this for a very long time and we've been talking about it. And I'm glad that all of you are going to get to hear her amazing story. This is something my mom and I, you guys should know, my mom and I are very close and we talk all the time. And she knows my faith journey story better than anybody on earth, I would think. And she's also like an avid podcast listener. She listens every week and she's part of my prayer team. So she's very involved with this ministry and she reflects on her faith journey while I'm talking to her about what's going on with me. But this is just such a cool opportunity to hear what she's had going on behind the scenes all of these years. So Mom, I want to start out. Let's let everybody know kind of what your background is. Just tell us about your life, how your life started out, and then also let us know a little bit about really what role faith had in your life in your earlier years.
Sure. I'm happy to share. I live in Columbia, South Carolina. I am a middle child of five children. I have two older sisters, a younger sister, and a brother. We're a very close family, and we grew up in a Christian home. Our parents took us to church. There was no sleeping in that household. So on days that I wanted to sleep in, it was go to church. And our family, when we traveled, when all the children were still together, my mother and father would sing in the car, but they would always sing old hymns. Mm-hmm. And so those are just great memories. But that really was the root of me, you know, beginning to know what it was like to go to church and be in a Christian family.
Mm-hmm. You know, I can actually remember talking with grandma about her early years as a mom and also getting married to my grandfather, your dad, and how being a Christian family was very important to her and how that was something that was really heavy on her mind whenever she started her family. So I think it's neat to hear too from your angle that growing up in a Christian home and having that, like, you know, I guess, religious commitment to go to church on Sundays and things like that was very formative for you as well. All right. So you grew up going to church. It was kind of an expectation in your household. What did that look like for you as you went into your like teen years and so forth?
Well, as a teenager, I continued to go to church. But then as I started being a little bit more independent, I grew further away from God. And during those years, that's when you either make good choices or bad choices. And I was making a lot of bad choices, but they were the choices I wanted to make. And mm-hmm. that's the free will. And actually, as I've reflected on it, I've thought at that time mm-hmm. that I know God forgives me for my sins. So why not sin? Mm-hmm. Like as a teenager, I just had this attitude. I knew about forgiveness, but I didn't understand the reality of God mm-hmm. And how, you know, that's so displeasing to God and hurts God. And I was just living my life. And I'm so thankful today that he protected me through those years. Mm-hmm. I mean, those were some rough years. And he was there with me all along. Yeah. All along. And so then I went to a technical college. That's where I met your father.
Mm-hmm.
He just returned from serving in Vietnam. So with him being 6 years older than me,
mm-hmm.
I'm a young girl, and we meet, and after about 2.5 years, we married. And again, I'm all into my free will and making all my own choices and not in church.
Lots of independence.
Lots mm-hmm. of independence. And about another 2 or 3 years, you come along.
Mm-hmm.
And by this time, I had a full-time job. I was working corporately, but I was 20 when I got married, so I was very young.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, a few years, you come along, so now I'm a mom. So it was after you were born and adjusting to the responsibilities of parenthood, and time went by. I don't know if it was 9 months, a year went by, but I found myself one night just sitting in the middle of the floor crying.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt broken. I was upset. I just didn't know where to turn, or I thought I didn't know where to turn.
Mm-hmm.
And when your father and I started talking about it, I said, I want to go meet with the pastor for counseling tomorrow. And I said, if you can, I would like for you to meet me there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to show up at 12 o'clock. Let's see if you show up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the end of our conversation. And then the next morning, I get up, I do my routine, I go to work. I never asked, are you going to be there? And at 12 o'clock on my lunch hour, I went to the church. And at that time, I was waiting to see if he was going to show up. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulled into the parking lot. And I thought, right then, God is in the middle of this marriage. And the fact that we were both rooted in our faith, he came from a Christian home and separated from his ways. I came from a Christian home, separated from my ways. But we knew where to turn. And we sat in that pastor's office for counseling. And that just made a big difference.
Mm.
And it was at that time that we were going to church, but we were actually just going to church.
Mm-hmm.
We were not living the life mm-hmm. that God called us to live.
Yeah.
And so that is, the beginning.
Sounds like that was like a turning point for you guys.
It sure was.
So I think it's interesting how things were taking place in your life. Meanwhile, here I am kind of riding the family train where I'm just going to services on Sunday morning and doing the church thing with you guys. It wasn't personal for me yet. It was like kind of getting personal for you guys, but you guys were still kind of finding your way as well. So what would you say happened next in your journey with God after this time early in your marriage where you realize like, okay, there's more to this than just growing up in a family that went to church. This is now it's our family. Now it's our marriage. And now we're turning to God. What happened or was there a time whenever it started to become more personal for you after that?
Yes, and you were the witness to us, your parents. So as you started your personal relationship with Christ, and we would walk into the kitchen and see you sitting at the table with your Bible open.
Mm-hmm. I was like 15 years old.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're like, man, she's the child. We're the parents. And she's teaching us. And then you would go to school. And you had lapel pins that you proudly wore on your clothes. And I still have that box of lapel pins.
They were like faith-oriented pins.
Yes.
Yeah.
One might be a cross. One might be a dove.
Yeah.
One might say, I love Jesus. I have all of those pins. And there are about 30,
mm-hmm.
I believe, in that box.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked and I said, wow, she has such a bold witness at such a young age. I need to be like that. I want to be like that. And then it wasn't very long, within a year, your dad and I had an opportunity to go on a spiritual retreat. It was called the Walk to Emmaus. And we went on that retreat, which the Walk to Emmaus is based on Luke 24, 13 through 35, where two disciples were talking while walking to the village named Emmaus. And Jesus drew near, went with them, but they did not even recognize that they were with Jesus. It wasn't until the disciples were close to the village of Emmaus that their eyes were opened and they recognized that Jesus had been with them on their journey. And it just reminded me during that weekend that Jesus is with us all the time. And going back to those years where I was ignoring it, but he is with us. He never leaves us and he never forsakes us. And that weekend was a life-changing. But it was after you had shown your witness to others and to your own family that God prepared our hearts. And I remember after that weekend of that spiritual walk, hearing the biblical teachings and praying out loud, which I was not doing beforehand, that is when I said that I want to have a bold witness for Christ and I want to have a personal relationship with God. And that is when I really felt like I had set my eyes on Jesus.
Oh, I love that so much. And I will say, I mean, they're talking about observing me and my bold witness. Honestly, my life was just transforming. I mean, it was changing. And again, if you go back and listen to that part of the podcast, if you listen to that episode, you'll see that it was like things were happening to me. It wasn't something that I was fabricating or anything. I was also just as kind of surprised, right? Like this, the Holy Spirit moved into my life, took hold of my heart, really rescued me from my own darkness and my own kind of spinning at the time. And when he did, I suddenly just had this thirst for truth. I was seeking on a regular basis after the Lord. But of course, I wasn't sitting at the kitchen table reading my Bible to like impress my parents. You know, I was just at the kitchen table reading because I wanted to read before I went to school. But now what you're hearing from my mom is that this was actually a witness to them that I wasn't even trying to witness to my parents. I was just genuinely discovering the Lord on my own, and I was following him after surrendering my life to him. And my parents, meanwhile, were witnessing this and observing this, and they were on their own parallel faith journey where the Lord was working in their life. So I think it's really neat to see how God was orchestrating all of this. And I can remember, my mom is telling you about this weekend in Emmaus. I can remember when my parents came back from that Emmaus retreat. And I can remember them sitting down and talking to me after that retreat. And so it's just really cool how God was working these things out. Okay, so you have this kind of big turnaround after this Emmaus retreat and this really more firm surrender to the Lord and dedication of your life to the Lord. And I'm just curious how things went for you after that. Do you have any experiences that you want to share with us where God's presence really felt really evident in your life over the years, or that you really saw him showing up in your life after this time where you were like, okay, this is going to be different from now on?
Yes. And I will say that I've been taking baby steps. So it took me a long time, even after that weekend, to continue to grow spiritually, to be comfortable praying aloud. And it's just, you know, what I would say first is don't ever be discouraged if you feel like you're not moving fast enough. Don't compare yourself to anybody else.
That's a good point. Yeah.
But I did have several experiences, and God was with me all the time. And I had people praying for me. And the first experience was when I lost my job. And so this was my second big corporate job,
mm-hmm.
and lost it with company downsizing. Felt like it was completely unexpected, even though I knew the company was going through downsizing. You just never expect to be the one told. And you're told on a morning and you leave at 10 a.m.
Oh, gosh.
It's a really bad feeling. And so, of course, I just knew God was with me. And I had 3 months off work. I needed the rest. I needed the break. And then God prepared something better for me. I received a better job with better hours, with better pay, better benefits. So how can you ever look back and think of that as being a hard time when look at the goodness
mm-hmm.
that came from it? Then after that, within like 2, if not 3 years, I was diagnosed with kidney cancer.
Mm-hmm.
That was totally unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And with kidney cancer, there are very few symptoms unless it's advanced too far. And I went in for a regular annual checkup, and I was having some back pain and some things, but nothing that I thought was
like
serious.
Minor, right, right, yeah.
And after I fully passed the exam, and I was talking with my doctor afterwards, I told him I was taking Tylenol for back pain and my ankles were swelling. And with that, he said, let's do a CT scan. And they found a large tumor in my kidney. Within 4 weeks, had me in the hospital, removed the entire kidney. And again, I was calm. Mm-hmm. You always say you don't know where it comes from, but you really do. I had so many people praying for me. And we had your wedding coming up 4 months later.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to be well. I wanted to be healthy and be at your wedding. And the Lord just brought me through that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of the miracles in my life.
It really was a miracle. I think, in fact, it was so miraculous that it sometimes goes understated what a big deal it was, right? I mean, the fact that you didn't go through treatments after that surgery is unheard of.
Right.
I mean, honestly. And I also think it was a miracle that the doctor discovered it, because how many times have we been to the doctor, we pass all the tests, and then they're like, is anything else going on? And you go, well, I take Tylenol every once in a while, you know, at night. And the doctor's like, oh, that if Tylenol's helping, mm-hmm. it's no big deal. You know, but I've always thought that the way that the doctor almost in other circumstances, it might seem over the top, you know, for the doctor to call for a CT scan because of a comment about taking Tylenol, you know, and also I remember you were traveling with work at the time and you had air travel. And so you thought that the swelling of your ankles was just from air travel, which I now travel with my job and I do a lot of air travel and I'm the same exact way. I'm like, right. You get puffy mm-hmm. when you're in an airplane off and on. So once again, it could have been very easy to not pay attention to. And I think that I've always credited God for just your doctor to call for that CT scan. If he hadn't done that, we would have never known that you had cancer. And the rest of the trajectory could have been very, very different. So praise God for that. I'm very thankful.
So true. And so glad to be a cancer survivor today.
I know. She went years and years with scans and checks and everything and never a reoccurrence.
And that is a witness for me. I share mm-hmm. my story with others. I share it for encouragement.
Right. Yeah, I know. It's also good for me because every time I go to the doctor, I'm like, hey, are my kidneys okay? You know, just want to make sure you guys know that my mom had kidney cancer. So just, you know, just make sure the kidneys are doing well. they say it's not hereditary. So I, you know, but, you know, that's what they say. Well, I love that. Now, I want to talk for a minute about relationship with God, because that sometimes I think in Christian communities, we can kind of like put a bow on relationship with God and act like it just looks one way, You know what I mean? Like, oh, relationship with God means that I have a 30-minute quiet time every single day and that I read through the Bible every single year and that kind of thing. And that is just not reality. That is not exactly what it looks like for everybody. And like you said, you were taking baby steps over all of these years. And so relationship with God can look different. And I also know that you had some mentors in your life and so forth that kind of modeled this for you, because you weren't coming necessarily from an environment where it was really clearly modeled for you. What does it look like to have a relationship with God? And so I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about what it looked like for you to learn about having a relationship with God, and yeah, just what can you tell us about what that is for you?
Well, I would like to start by telling you about the spiritual mentor.
Okay.
So that was one of the blessings that came from this new job took after being laid off. And my prayer, I remember so clearly when I accepted the job, when I'm walking through the doors for the first time, to say, God, please provide me with Christian friends. And I needed Christian friends, but I also just needed those relationships. And it was within just a few weeks that I was talking with our vice president in a large corporate company, and he had gathered about 15 people for lunch and just said, if you want to join this Christian group, we go to a restaurant, would you like to join us? And I did. And fast forward, that 15 people turned into over 100 people over the course of 2 or 3 years, I would say. And he was such a spiritual mentor to me by showing me what workplace ministry looked like, that you don't have to separate your faith life from your work life, and that you can do all of that and still follow corporate guidelines. We met once a month off campus for lunch, and because we grew to so many people, we had two local churches that supported our lunches. We paid $6 a person and we were fed. So people were going to restaurants anyway. So this was a deal and they got much better food. And then we had all that time to share our faith. We were kind of put in small groups, but we would do it in an hour and then we would go back to work.
Right.
And so just the workplace ministry was so significant in my life. That individual, and I'm going to name him, Steve Von Fange.
Yeah.
He touched so many lives of people and a lot of people in the workplace. So,
That also translates to families, right?
Yes.
Like, I think that that's the amazing thing. Sometimes we think that experiences that take place in the workplace just stay at the workplace. And that's not necessarily true. I mean, I think that Steve's ministry at the corporate level, where he was a leader in a very big corporate company, and he was also a leader in this workplace ministry where Christians in the workplace were coming to this ministry. Well, think about, you are just one example of how that impacted your life and your growth and your relationship with God. But then that goes on to your home, you know, to your relationship with your daughter, like me, and your husband. But think about all the other people that are going home from that workplace ministry, and it's impacting their homes as well. So I just think that I think anybody who's been a listener for a while knows that I'm really big on workplace ministry, and I'm really big on Christians being empowered to follow the Lord through their vocation and through their careers, and for the Lord to work through them in a redemptive and restorative way on earth through their jobs. And I have seen that too, as I've watched you in your corporate job with your corporate spiritual mentors who have helped you on your journey as well. So it's really neat that you had that going on earlier in your life. And here you fast forward to, I didn't get involved in that kind of ministry work until 2017, you know? So it's just wild how you've had those experiences, and then it has ended up relaying almost like a legacy into my experience as well. So thank you for sharing about that mentorship. Is there anything else you want to share about relationship with God and just what that has looked like for you over the years?
Yes, I think the primary thing for me is God is my friend. Mm. He's with me always. I'm very comfortable now praying. I pray out loud. As a lot of people do, pray in the car. I mm-hmm. could just be walking from one end of the house to the other and something crossed my heart and I just turned to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so now to have God in my life over all these years as a friend, and it actually took me back to my foundation mm-hmm. of the songs that we used to sing in the car. And was What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Yep.
And so that foundation was set. But now that I'm retired, I spend my time in two women Bible study groups. So over the past 2 years, that's been a very important part of my life. This past year, we study 8 months out of the year, each year. And this past year, we've been studying Isaiah. I've also started two in-home small groups with women at my house and just absolutely love that and look forward to the next time that we get to put another group together.
I love that because I've watched this unfold.
Yes.
And it's been so great because you have discovered the power and beauty of Bible studies, and now I'm watching you host them in your home, and it's just so cool. And also other women who didn't have the opportunity to necessarily attend a study are now having that opportunity because you're hosting. So that's awesome. I love that. I want to pull up John 15 really quickly to reference what she's talking about this friendship with Jesus. These are Jesus's words that I'm reading here right now out of John 15, starting with verse 13. It says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you." Isn't that beautiful? And that is that friendship that you're referring to that you have now with Jesus.
Definitely.
So as we wrap up, I would love to hear what type of, what your thoughts are for giving advice to someone who might be struggling right now. You know, maybe you can relate to that from times in your life when you were struggling. What would you say to someone if you wanted to give them a word of encouragement?
Well, I have several things. The first that comes along is find a spiritual mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be in the workplace, but someone that is going to help you and really sometimes challenge you, ask you questions about your walk with the Lord so you think about it and you process that. And then maybe you can be a spiritual mentor to someone else mm-hmm. and look for those people too that you might be able to help. So that's very important. That just made the biggest difference in my life. And I do want to say with all of the people in that group, they were mentors to me.
Right.
They prayed with me. They knew my hardships at certain times. So that was so important. I also encourage people, even if you're feeling like you're taking baby steps, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're not all going to arrive, you know, at some magic moment. So whatever you can do, go ahead and do that.
Take that baby step.
Take that baby step.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would just say, be bold in your witness. I remember saying those words as I ended that Emmaus walk and entering my office building and just saying, "Lord, I want to be a bold witness for you mm-hmm. and share your love with others."
Well, I hope everyone listening will do that as well. Thank you so much, Mom, for sharing. This has been so amazing.
It's been very special.
Yes,
thank you.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited because new episodes release every week.